Hare Krishna. So we're continuing our reading of Srimad Bihad Bhagavatamrita. We're in the first part, coming to the end of chapter 5 actually. Well, towards the end of chapter 5. Okay, Narada Muni has arrived in Dwarka. Right? And he's seen from a distance the Yadus seated. And he's still observing them. We're beginning with text 95. Ugrasenam Maharajam Parivitya Chakashita Parikshamanam Shri Krishna Devagamanam Adarat. Surrounding Maharaj Ugrasena, the Yadavas glowed brilliantly. As with reverent eagerness, they had waited the arrival of Shri Krishna. Digdarshani by Srila Sanatana Goswami. King Ugrasena sat on his throne in the midst of the assembly, served with his white umbrella, yak-tail fans, and other royal emblems. Reflecting the king's imperial potency, all the Yadava princes glowed brilliantly like many suns in the sky. But even though commanding so much material power, every one of them wanted nothing but to see Krishna and be with him. Krishna joined them every day in their assembly. Yet every day they awaited his arrival with great, great eagerness. He was their deva, their only object of worship. So the word adarat is very important here, because it conveys the mood. It conveys the mood with which Ugrasena and the Yadavas were waiting. In Dwarka, the love is pure, but its mood is respectful. Krishna in Dwarka plays the role of king or prince. Actually, Ugrasena is the king, but Krishna is... Everyone is worshipping Krishna, so he's the king of kings, and everyone knows it. But still, because Ugrasena is elder, and he is the natural king, so Krishna, every morning he comes, and he puts his head at the feet of Ugrasena. So this is the beginning of... the description of the rasas in Goloka. You know, there's different divisions in Goloka. And in those different places, the mood of service to Krishna is a little different. In Dwarka, the situation is like a big city, actually. And the prominent mood is of royalty, is of opulence, is of awe and reverence. And even though Krishna there is Krishna, he's an expansion, Vasudev Krishna, still sometimes they see him with four arms. In Vaikuntha, the servants, the Vaikuntha Dutas, the servants in Vaikuntha, they always see Krishna with four arms. Now, in Dwarka, they sometimes see Krishna with four arms. Means that their devotion is more familiar because they are the family members. They are family members of Krishna. Their devotion is more familiar. But still, because it's in a big city setting, the mood is different. Now we have our new guests from Bhubaneswar. They've come from the big city. Right? Right? Now you're coming to Govardhan, little, you know, village, simple brahmachari life. So you have to adjust. Here the mood should be more familiar and more family-like even. Anyway, so Ugrasena is sitting there and he's, you know, the leader. Ugrasena is the leader. And the very exalted personalities of the Yadu dynasty, they're all surrounding him in his court. Right? And, you know, they look like sons, you know. Ugrasena looked like even brighter sun. Because, in general, whether it be a family, like the father is the head of the family, you know, the king or the prime minister or the head of state is the, you know, head of a government, you know, spiritual master, maybe the head of a group of disciples, or, you know, sannyasi is head of, spiritual head of the society, like that. So the thing that makes life congenial, the thing that makes life congenial is when the dependents are surrounding the leader in a way that is loving and cooperative. Here in this circumstance, that mood is extremely blissful and extremely powerful. Why? Because they are all waiting for Krishna. You see? They're surrounding Ugrasena, who's the king, and they all love him and adore him, just as it is stated here. I'm repeating this again and again, don't mind, because it's very, very, very important. In the end of the commentary of text 91, it's described that the jewels and the ornaments and the garments and the parijata flowers and all the accoutrements of Dwarka did nothing to add to the natural beauty of the transcendental bodies of the Yadus, because their bodies were shining with the splendor of love for Krishna. But it was also, they were also shining with the splendor of love for one another. This is pure devotional service. The Yadus had so much material power, more than anyone had ever had, because they were connected with Krishna. All of them were his family members in one way or another. And because Dwarka, despite its opulence, Dwarka is in Goloka, Vrindavan, and in Goloka, Vrindavan, there is nothing material. Nothing material. There's no time. There's no material time in the spiritual world. And there's no material space. There's no material ingredients. Everything is made of spiritual energy. Satchidananda, Chintamani, Prakata Sadmasu, Kalpa Briksha. This is the situation in Goloka Vrindavan. Because of this non-existence of time, there's another force, because here in the material world, the force that moves us from one place to another, that moves the atoms together and then apart to form the forms and to dictate when the forms are together and when they're not together, is time, Kala Chakra. So therefore we have the rising and the setting of the sun, and we get up, you know, and we go to sleep, and we have to go to the bathroom, and we have to do all these different things because we're forced by time. We're forced by time, and we're forced by the fact that we are absorbed or merged into the material elements, and we're dependent on the material elements for our activities. Actually, the soul is not dependent on the material elements. The existence of the soul does not depend on material elements. The soul actually exists apart from the material body. So what is the force that moves things in the spiritual world? What is the force that causes the daily cycle of events in the spiritual world? Love, prema. The force that moves everyone in the spiritual world is love for Krishna. So because of this, there's a daily cycle, but nobody's forced. It's not that we're forced in the spiritual world. We're there doing what we're doing in the place we're doing, with the people we're doing, with the things we're doing, because everybody wants to be there out of love for Krishna. So the effect of this, absence of time is that when Krishna comes, when Krishna is going to come, and you're anticipating, here we have the situation. Ugrasena is sitting in the court with all the Yadus shining brilliantly in their anticipation of seeing Krishna. When they see Krishna, because there's no time, it's as if they're seeing him for the first time, every time. In the material world, you know, familiarity breeds contempt. If you become overly familiar with a superior because of time, because of all the forces of time, familiarity breeds contempt. And therefore this artificial, you know, situation of rules and regulations, and everybody's living in fear. Prabhupada was given the name Abhay, Charanabinda, fearless, because taking shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna, when you actually take shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna, then you become fearless. You no longer are motivated by fear when you do or don't do something. This is the wonderful situation in the spiritual world. This is why there's no boredom in the spiritual world. There can be no boredom in the spiritual world, because Krishna, everyone is always either anticipating Krishna's arrival or relishing Krishna's presence. every day, as a result, is a festival. Here in the material world, we're all trying to become the controllers. We all want to own. We all want to control. We all want to enjoy that which belongs to Krishna. Everything belongs to Krishna. There's no need for politics. There's no reason for politics in the spiritual world. They have something that resembles politics in the spiritual world. They have different moods with different groups of different devotees who feel different ways towards Krishna. But that politics is not like the politics here. It doesn't cause pain to anyone. Because there's no envy. There's no envy. It doesn't cause pain to anyone. This is the difference. So we have to learn. We have to learn to follow in the footsteps of the residents of the spiritual world. First, we have to hear. Then we have to become inspired. If our hearts are full of envy, if we're in tamagun, we cannot feel inspired. So we follow strictly the various etiquettes. Like here, you know, Ugrasena is the king and everyone is waiting and he's in the center and he is even Krishna. Even Krishna comes and bows down to him. So we follow all those things. We follow all the etiquettes. We follow the rules and regulations. We keep ourselves clean. We keep ourselves regulated. We try to be on time. We try to do our duties for Krishna in a very nice way. And in the beginning, it may be out of fear. In the beginning, neophyte means it's out of fear. We don't want, you know, Krishna to be displeased. We don't want our authorities to get on our case. We don't want to be embarrassed in front of everyone. And we don't want anyone to think that we're off or we're this or we're that. In this way, we need to follow these things to keep everything in order. But as we do that, and as we hear and chant and learn the details of devotional service. As we learn the details of devotional service, as we learn the meaning of the philosophy, and as we enter gradually into the pastimes of Krishna, different personalities and different pastimes and different things may be more attractive to us than others. But anyway, the point I'm making is that we follow strictly the etiquettes, we follow everything, but not with the same purpose as in the material world. We don't follow them so that we can become powerful, so that we can, you know, take over something, or, you know, own something, or control someone else, or so that we can be seen to be superior to other people. This is a very, very important point. You'll find in Srila Prabhupada's purports, sections where he describes that there are devotees even in the Krishna consciousness movement who dress and look just like devotees but who have different motives. Their motives are not to love and please Krishna and not to sacrifice their energy for the benefit of others so that Lord Chaitanya's movement can spread and that those who are suffering in the material world can be relieved and can be given the same benefit and the same nectar that we are able to enjoy in Krishna consciousness. So we follow strictly. We follow the etiquettes nicely. But we do it with the aim, with the goal to purify our hearts and purify ourselves so that we can get the mercy of Krishna. You get the mercy of Krishna how? By pleasing Krishna. You don't get the mercy of Krishna by becoming very powerful, by becoming very opulent, by becoming very learned, by becoming very renounced. Krishna doesn't need any of these things. He's the source of everything. We don't get Krishna's mercy by those things exactly, but we get the mercy by pleasing Krishna. We follow those things, raga, dvesha, vimuktaistu, vishayan, indriyaischaran, atma, vashar, vidayatma, prasadam, adigachati. Don't ring the bell. Mukunda, 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 Haribao. Don't ring the bell so loud during the class. Because nobody can, it distracts everything. It distracts me, it distracts the minds of everyone. But really, what we want you to learn how to think for yourself. We have to learn how to do the right thing without being always told. This is the difference between mechanical devotional service and thoughtful devotional service. If you want to go to Goloka Vrindavan, what to speak of Govardhan? Haribol. What to speak of Govardhan? Then you have to become thoughtful. You can't be blind follower. Your eyes have to be open, your minds have to be alert, and you have to think what to do, how to do the right thing to please the deities, to please the authorities in particular, and to please ultimately the other devotees. And if you do that, if you learn how to be thoughtful, how to anticipate Krishna's mind, how to anticipate the mind of those who are closer to you than Krishna, then gradually you are trained. You're trained. And you'll know what to do from your heart, but instinctively, spontaneously, you'll know what to do. You see? So what we're doing here in the Krishna Consciousness Movement is that we are practicing devotional service. We're learning how to be devotees so that we can eventually render the kind of spontaneous loving service that we hear about in the Bhagavatam and in Vrihat Bhagavatamrita and in the other Rasa Shastras from the Goswamis, the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Devotional service cannot be done mechanically. And you cannot get the more spontaneous, satisfying levels of devotion just by following a rule or regulation. But when devotees are immature and they hear that, oh, I can't get spontaneous devotion by following the rule or regulation, then they reject the rule and regulation. Rupa Goswami describes this in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as niyamagraha. One of the causes of fall down from devotional service is niyamagraha. Niyamagraha means it has two meanings. One is that I follow very strictly but without purpose, without understanding why I'm doing what I'm doing, without thoughtfulness, without purification of the heart, I just follow blindly. This will cause me eventually to fall down. And the other side is that I neglect them. I neglect the regulative principles. So we have to follow the regulative principles strictly, but we have to do it with the motive, with the purpose, with the aim of awakening our pure love for Krishna. We have to make that our goal. That has to be our goal, and that has to be kept. The purpose of the daily class, of hearing all these things, the purpose of all the things we do, is to keep in the front of our minds this very, very important principle of why we're doing what we're doing. You should be conscious of what you're doing at every second. At every second, you should be conscious of what you're doing. What am I doing right now at this moment to please Krishna? Is Krishna at this moment satisfied with what I'm doing? Is my Guru Maharaj satisfied with what I'm doing? You know, we are in the position of having had our spiritual masters depart. You know, Guru Govinda Maharaj departed not so long ago, but he departed. Our Prabhupada departed many years ago, more than 20 years ago. And we have had this burden of having to think whether what we're doing is pleasing Prabhupada or not by becoming deeply absorbed in his teachings and following them strictly and in the association of pure devotees who are not fighting like cats and dogs. So the Yadus were effulgent, and everything that they had and everything that they did was pleasing, because all they wanted to do was to see Krishna, to be with him. And because of that spontaneous love, because of that very powerful desire, the combined desire, Krishna was forced to come there. Forced not out of force, out of fear, but forced by, drugged by that love. It's described to be like the rope of love. Krishna was bound by the rope of the love of his devotees. And he would come every day. And he would bow down to Yugasena. And he would sit in the assembly. And he would hear all of the problems of social life, and he would make the decisions, and everyone was satisfied, everyone was pleased, because everyone agreed. In a material world, if you're in material consciousness, you can't agree with another person on one thing, what to speak on everything. Nobody could agree with one another. Everybody has their own ways of doing things, their own ways of thinking about things, their own ways of everything. And therefore the world is becoming more and more fragmented. Fragmented. Factions. Fighting. Infighting. It's going on everywhere. Even in our movement it's going on. It's so horrible. It's hellish, actually. It's hellish. Because we haven't actually understood and accepted what is the goal. And we're not actually hankering enough for the goal. Tadantak Pudabat Meksha Bhyagramanasalochanan Tatkata Kadanasaktan Asankhyan Kotikotishaha. Countless millions of Yadavas waited, absorbed in talk about Krishna. Their minds and eyes anxiously focused on the path from Krishna's inner palace. Commentary. Just as anyone who feels at ease talks about what is on his mind. Very important point. Did you hear that? I'm going to say it again. Just as anyone who feels at ease talks about what is on his mind. If you're not at ease, you can't discuss what's going on in your mind. We mentioned this the last 2 days, and I guess it's coming up again and again because we're in this section of Brihadbhagavatamrita, that the exchanges of love. So we don't have love yet. We're still following rules and regulations. We don't have love yet. We're practicing. So what is that practice? How do we practice having loving exchanges when we don't love yet properly one another or Krishna? We do that by giving a gift, by giving some prasad, by receiving a gift, by receiving some prasad, and by revealing one's mind. And by inquiring confidentially what's going on in another person's mind. Unless these exchanges are going on, that means no one is at ease. No one is comfortable. The more at ease, the more comfortable you feel, the more you're in your natural condition, the more you feel like revealing your heart, And the more you reveal your heart to someone, and they reveal their hearts, then the natural relationship of love becomes manifest. Whatever that happens to be, whether it's in friendship, whether it's in parental love, whether it's in whatever the relationship is. But what was on the Yadava's mind? See, if you're really at ease and you want to reveal your mind to others, what's going to come out? Krishna. Not, it doesn't mean that just because, you know, you're supposed to reveal your mind, that means all your problems come out, you know, on a plate, like, you know, all these snakes and worms and, you know, problems in your mind come out. No, when we exchange our minds, what's in our minds, it should be Krishna. And that's why we don't talk to one another. Isn't it? That's why we don't talk to one another, and that's why we're not at ease, because we're not thinking about Krishna. We're thinking about this and that, and what he did, and why did he do that, and why am I not this, and why don't I have this? He has that, why can't I have that? This is called, in one word, in one word, that's called Maya. That is Maya. When I'm thinking about things that don't really exist, I'm considering true things that are not true. I'm placing my value with things that don't mean anything, that aren't really true. And my mind is absorbed in them. Therefore, especially in an ashram, in a spiritual ashram, if the mind's always absorbed in those things, then you don't feel comfortable. And when you don't feel comfortable, you can't reveal your mind, because Krishna's not there. So just as anyone who feels at ease talks about what is on his mind, the Yadavas naturally discussed Krishna, the pastimes he had performed on various occasions, and also the business at hand with him in the royal assembly. The Yadavas had no inclination to talk or think about anything not involving Krishna. The Yadavas, the dynasty of the Yadavas was so populous that Shukadev Goswami thought them practically uncountable. Jadubangsha prasutanam pungsang vigya chakarmanam sankhya nashakyate kartum abhivarsha chitayanripa tisrakotya sahasranam. That's a big number. Ashtashiti shatani cha asan yadu kulacharya kumaranam iti shutam. The Yadu dynasty produced innumerable great men of famous deeds. Even in hundreds of years, O king, one could never count them all. I have heard from authoritative sources that the Yadu family employed 38,800,000 teachers just to educate their children. Srila Sridhar Swami explains that the number of teachers cited by Shukadev Goswami is a conservative estimate. Obtained from hearsay. But the number might be much higher. Since teachers often take responsibility for dozens of students, the total number of school-aged boys in the Yadu dynasty is far beyond estimation, and they are only a fraction of the whole family. Ashradana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa aprapyamam nivartante mrityu sangsaravartmani. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that those who are faithless cannot achieve me. They have to return to repeated birth and death. So when a materialistic conditioned mind hears about this, 38,800,000 teachers, each of whom must have had at least a few students, and that's just the children population of the Yadus. What to speak of, you know, the majority, it's minority. One cannot fathom how many personalities were there in the Yadu Dynasty. How many personalities were there waiting for Krishna to come to the court? How many personalities were talking about Krishna at the same time? Asharadana. No, it's not possible. It's just something to give us an idea because, you know, Krishna is very great. So these are just things that are made up by the Acharyas in order to impress us so that we can think Krishna is great. But Krishna, he is actually God. He is actually unlimited. Our problem is that we have a tendency to compare Krishna to us. And when we hear something like that, we think, oh, I could never do that. Not only that, but I've never met anybody who could even think to do something like that. Therefore, you know, it must be a little exaggeration. And then from that thought comes what? Mythology. So they all define Krishna's pastimes in terms of mythology, the legends. And in that faithlessness, they lose their ability to hear. Adau shadha tata sadhu sangha cha bhajana kriya. Without faith, you can't get the association of the devotees. Without the association of the devotees, you can't feel like serving bhajana kriya. Without devotional service, proper devotional service, trained by a spiritual master, you can't think to become nishta or anartha nivritta. You can't think to take out the dirty things in your heart. Therefore, they just keep accumulating. And the face becomes darker and darker. And the mind becomes more and more confused. And things become not more and more clear, but more and more cloudy. And then what? Bloop. Then you bloop. You go away. You do something else. Because everybody has to try to be happy somehow or other. It all comes from faith. Therefore, when Rupa Goswami says that we should accept that the process of surrender begins with the rejection of things that are not conducive to devotional service, the first thing you must reject is the association and the sound vibration, wherever it comes from, that does not nourish faith. If you hear something from someone that is intended to break your faith in that person, you should shun that. You should reject it like stool, like you reject stool when you pass it. You don't hang around in the toilet after you pass your stool. Huh? Who hangs around in the toilet to associate with the stool? Oh, it came from my body, very dear to me. Let me hang out there. No. We go away immediately. Abominable smell, abominable substance. So when you hear a devotee criticize another devotee, it should be just like that. You should get away from it as if it was stool. But we're so foolish, that as soon as we hear some politics, as soon as we hear some criticism of someone else, we want to eat that stool. And then we wonder why I'm having so many problems. And then we look at our authorities. Yes, it must be their fault. After all, I'm perfect. Aren't I? Hare Krishna. Any questions? Jeev Jago. Jeev Jago. Gaurachandra Bole. Yeah, his was up first. But I'm not going to take very many because it's already after 9 o'clock. See, we should regulate this. We should regulate this. The class should end by 9 o'clock or maybe even a few minutes before. The only reason I went a little longer is because the group, everything went a little longer. We should regulate this. You know, 7:15, the door is open. Right? And then there's the Guru Puja and the greetings and the Guru Puja. That should last, you know, no more than a quarter till. No more than 20 minutes till or a quarter till 8. And then we sit down and have the class, and we can be finished by 8:45, and that means we can sit down and have prasadam by 9. Right? So, good for us to regulate. But anyway, I'll take one question, two questions. You were the first two hands up. Go ahead. Not clear. Your question's not clear. He's saying that if you get liberation by Nama Vas, then
you get, like, you die and you chant Nama Vas.
Yeah.
And you achieve the spiritual world, but you are not on the level of saying Vas.
Yeah.
So then I will get saved.
If you in spiritual world someplace not
yet. Yeah. It's called the Brahma Jyoti. The spiritual sky in between the planets. Yeah, you cannot go into the planets of the spiritual world by Namvas. You can, but what Namvas means that if you're chanting Namvas, then you can follow strictly the regulative principles. That's liberation. Liberation means you can follow strictly the regulative principles, and by doing that, you can achieve. Freedom from material concepts and freedom from material association, freedom from the material implication. That takes you to the Brahma Jyoti. But it will not give you positive devotional service. That you have to perform Shuddhanam. Shuddhanam gives you prem. And with prem, you feel like doing something for Krishna. And only when you're on that platform of prem, can you enter into Vaikuntha, planets, either Vaikuntha or in Goloka. Yes. That Namvas has to become Shuddha, pure. That's Krishna's business. He arranges all that. One more question. I'm talking about one devotee hears a criticism of another devotee. It's like stool, yeah?
Yeah. So what to do in the situation when somebody...
What to do in a situation when someone who's like your guru...
Yeah. When you criticize some of the devotees who are actually acting improperly...
What to do if your person who's like your guru criticizes someone who's like his godbrother and you are there and you hear it, and he's finding this and that, this needs to be adjusted, that needs to be adjusted. So this is not your business. Vrindavan Das Thakur in Chaitanya Bhagavat, he warns us about this. If you see superiors fighting or disagreeing on anything, you should not go there. It's not your business. That's their business. The example is given Lord Nityananda and Advaita Acharya. Sometimes they would disagree with one another about different things, and they would have these wonderful, loving arguments. And Advaitacharya would, Lord Nityananda would call Advaitacharya, "You are just, attached householder, Vishayi, sense gratifier." And Advaitacharya would call him a reject Paramahansa. "You're just pretending to be renounced, just so you can come to my house and fill your belly with my food." Right? So when devotees are envious and they hear these things, they take sides. Therefore you have Nityananda Vamsa, Advaita Vamsa, Gauranga Nagari, and they try to, follow one, and leave the others because they are not this or they are not that. This is called personality cult. It doesn't accommodate the relationships and the natural relationships that go on. As long as there's two people, there are going to be differences of opinion. It's not possible for any two souls to agree about everything. That's not possible. In the spiritual world, the things they disagree about is how to please Krishna. I want to please Krishna like this, or I want to please Krishna like this. Therefore, their disagreements do not cause pain and do not cause suffering. But in the material world, our disagreements is, I want to do this. No. I want to do that for me. And therefore, the fight causes pain and suffering. If you are not in the stature of spiritual intelligence, purified sufficiently to tell the difference, then you should avoid that kind of thing altogether. And especially if your authorities are disagreeing about something, you should not go there. Just don't go there. This is part of what it means to control the mind. Yato nishchalati. Manas chanchalam astiram. Withdraw the mind from those things which cause you to go in the wrong direction. When the mind goes in the wrong direction, you pull it back into the right direction and chant Hare Krishna. It may seem like a very simple, innocent instruction, but it's the deepest instruction. Just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. But no. We don't want to just chant Hare Krishna. We want to hear all about this and we want to hear all about that. Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. No. Then you just turn it off. You turn it off. Turn off the speaker. Just like if they turn off the speaker here and I go, nothing will come out. Turn off the speaker. That's very difficult. But that's what you have to do. If you want to become pure, if you want to become actually advanced, that's what you have to do. You have to learn to control your mind and your senses. Excuse me, Guru Maharaj, I have to go to the bathroom. Oh, okay. I'm out of there. Hare Krishna. Shri Priya Bhagavatamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Namah Shivaya.